The following was recorded by me, Glenn Fleischman, contributing editor to Tidbits, at Macworld Expo in San Francisco on January 15th, 2008, before, some during, and after the keynote address. This podcast is intended to just to give you a flavor of what Macworld Expo is like, with all the ambient noise and all the bad jokes included. Enjoy.
So I'm standing here with John Moltz. We're in the exciting press area waiting for the keynote. And
it's
we're wondering if we're in the right conference.
There's actually food.
And yeah, this is the first year I can remember them actually giving food to the press. Usually they treat us like so much baggage.
They beat us with sticks.
But they're letting us up into a lounge area outside the seating, which is weird. Usually we have to sort of mill around.
Right.
They're feeding us. Everything seems calm. There are definitely many, many more people here than last year. All very peculiar. All very peculiar. And we don't see anybody we know, which is even weirder.
Yeah, we think we may be at the wrong conference.
There's like 50 people that we
because
should know here.
Food, and then we don't know anybody.
Yeah, although everyone we know is probably in the speakers area this year, because so many people we know are speaking. That's so that's true. Where Adam and Tanya are.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. So it's very exciting. So we should mill around. The ambient noise is...
Should we talk about what we think is going to be announced?
Yes, well, I should point out that there's giant signage here that say there's something in the air, we secret. Oh, there's John Gruber.
Secret.
John Gruber secretly taking pictures of us.
John Gruber of Daring Fireball fame.
John, I'm recording a podcast. You may have heard of it. It's a special technology that allows us to move words
through the
air. I've got the
new firmware for the iPhones so I'm recording video.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Totally
well, that's okay.
That.
They're going to remotely disable. I was going to say, they're going to remotely disable it during the keynote. It's video.
Oh, see, it's video. See how it moves?
Uh-huh. Wow.
Ooh. That is magic. I must burn you at the stake now, of course. If you were to go back in time 5 years, people would kill you for an iPhone because they would think it was
that's
magic.
True.
Just 5 years. 10 years,
right.
You would be a god.
Market share here for iPhones is so funny. You could be with two of them.
Well, everyone, if Jobs has said, everyone hold up your iPhone, the whole audience would just be...
I see people with two iPhones.
With two iPhones?
No, I mean one.
One's for local calls. One's for long distance.
One's to keep clean.
One's to jailbreak.
No, there's a third one. There's a third one. It's at home in the box. It's never been opened. You know, actually, the funniest mistake I ever made with technology is I bought a Kindle to review it because they wouldn't send out review units.
Yeah.
And then I sent it back because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And if I'd kept it, I would have been able to sell it for twice its purchase price on
right.
eBay because they were short in supply.
Is that right?
I could have made $400 or $500 in selling it. Alright, I am recording, but I'll edit out. I'll do edited select. I'm trying to get a sense of Macworld. I'm recording. This is all.
With his iPhone.
You can tell me to not use your words, though. You have the right.
It's
you
not
control.
Work, but you can tell me.
That's right. So what do you think? What's going to come? I read your starred predictions last night. So, laptop. Little laptop, but no tablet.
Right, no tablet.
I think nobody, Jobs doesn't like tablets. He never liked tablets. He's always ridiculing tablets, it seems
yeah, but
like
I
to
think
me.
That it's got to be, that, you know, the iPhone's a tablet. You know, it's just got to be a tablet that's the right use. I mean,
yeah.
I'm telling you, they're working on it, but I have no idea
when
what's
say,
not,
but,
not coming
But it's not going
right?
to be
and
tablet.
I don't, and there's
like,
got to be some sort of hook. They're like, oh, I got to buy that.
But
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
It's going to be
something.
Big iPhone, not small computer. Like, not small laptop.
Right.
I mean, if
like,
the
think
tablet
of it
that
as just
made.
Like a reading device. Some,
yeah.
You know, like a Kindle, more or less. You know, like same basic idea that it's something, you know, lightweight. Like, look, I didn't take my laptop here.
Mm-hmm.
I took this.
Yes.
You know, something that you would take. I don't know.
The note-taking seems important, though, right? That's the missing piece. The iPhone,
oh,
you can't really take notes.
I don't think it would be a good... I think it'll be a poor input device, you know? I think that's, you know, the sacrifice.
So having recognized that, that's why... That's the whole, like, all the tablets
that's
still...
That's a pure guess, not based on any kind of...
But I like those. But actually, what I particularly like is the giant unveiled posters that Engadget was so proud to have snapped advanced pictures of that are just
that are
right
clearly
here.
Visible, through,
clearly
the window,
visible
right?
through the window. That
I
have no actual
that,
meaning.
I kind of thought that from the pictures they took. I didn't
like,
think that they were...
Yeah, right. Well, there was
like,
no cover
then,
that they were hastily
Apple,
putting on them or anything.
That's exactly what Apple.com looks like.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
And it's up on, yeah. It's
right.
up on Apple.com.
All right, I'll pause. So I'm standing here with Rich Mogul, security editor for Tidbits.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. So what's going to, what are you expecting?
You know,
anything?
I think
nothing.
I think it's pretty clear that there's going to be some sort of a micro laptop, but I'm almost thinking there has to be something else because they're letting the hype get pretty high this year, and they're not really doing much to constrain it. So I'm thinking, you know, odds are maybe there's something up the sleeve besides movie rentals and a lightweight laptop.
Well, that was sort of the idea. Is like if they have something really big and they want to deflate expectations, or they know something really big, they leak stuff. And this year they didn't leak anything. And no, even the electronics like the EE Times, Digitimes, it often has like. Taiwan says they're shipping 2 million processors of a certain kind. I didn't see any of that this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have my sources for leaks the way I used to when I was working for a big analyst company, but yeah, it's really, it's tough to tell, and I think there's been so much hype, I'm not sure that just, you know, one or two things that are semi-expected are going to be enough. And I suspect that Apple's so good at marketing, they would have deflated some of the hype, you know, and said, oh, no, it's, you know, it's just a laptop, but, you know, 50,000 people, and they were on the front page of the New York Times last year, and I'm pretty sure they wanted again this year.
Well, it's interesting, too, like, that was the argument last year, is they introduced the iPhone, no one was sure it was going to come, people suspected it, and then it didn't come for 6 months, and they still got on the front page of, like, every newspaper in the country.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And around the world for having something that wasn't shipping.
But I see my first baby at the keynote, too. I actually did not expect they would let somebody look through, but maybe we'll say, during the unhappy moments.
Yeah, right.
It's going to cost $1,000.
I got to say, this is actually my first Macworld keynote. I've been to lots of other conferences, and you know, it's been years since I actually woke up and was kind of excited to go to a conference and to see what was going on. So it's looking forward to it.
I haven't been that excited at Macworld's past because it's sort of like a slog. It's like, you know, lots of screen rounds, you don't have time to look at it, blah, blah. And then last year was actually fun because they'd focused it so tightly. This year it's like, we don't know what it's going to be, but it's something, we know it's going to be something new and interesting.
Yeah.
And so it's actually kind of, I've been trying to predict, but I haven't been trying to get, like, I haven't tried to actually nail down what's going to happen. It's like, I have that sort of open state, receptive, whatever comes, and it'll be interesting.
I have one prediction I believe will be 100% accurate. There will be no leather iPhone case announced today.
All right. Was there a prediction of one?
No.
Okay.
Just remembering the leather iPod case from a few years ago.
iPod socks. Will there be new iPod socks? That's what they really mean. New iPod socks. They still sell those. All right. So, wait. I'm doing Taste of Macworld. I'm doing a little podcast.
Taste like lemon.
So I have had a notice many times. They're actually beating the press this year, which is weird. At the keynote, they beat us later.
They did it at WWDC.
And they liked it so much.
Yeah. Rub it in food.
It was delicious.
I think they're going to kill us.
They're going to kill us. Fattening us up.
Do. Well, when there's something in the air, someone suggested mustard gas.
It says, how to serve man.
That's a cookbook. That's why we're on a separate floor.
It's a cookbook.
It's a controlled burn.
It's a cookbook.
Where's the Kool-Aid? I need to go drink some.
You see David Poe come running out.
It's a cookbook.
Soylent is Max.
Simple. I, Soylent, is with the people.
Max, oh. Soylent, air.
So, gentlemen, what are you... So, I am recording.
Oh,
this
good.
This is live. It's being beamed at now.
You can fix it to post, right?
Live. So what's,
they'll fix it by removing all of us.
This is a taste. I'm trying to get people to understand what it's like to be at Macworld, because, you know, some people actually... It's
kind
a
of
lot
like
of
the
like
Matrix.
This. That's
you can't be explained.
That's right. You have to go inside it. You have to learn. You have to read
it's
binary in real time.
Pop culture reference.
So if you can't read binary streaming by you at 1,000 miles an hour, you don't need to come back because it's no fun otherwise. You can't see Steve Jobs then. He's not there. And so what are you guys expecting? Nothing.
I think the sub-notebook's a lock. I'm pretty sure.
A lock.
So how much you putting up?
Well,
what's the Vegas odds?
The Vegas odds? I'll give you a...
It's going to be a free sub notebook under every chair.
That's why I'm pretty sure.
That's what everybody does now. They don't. Yeah, they can't do that.
You know, one year, if they really just want to mess with us, like a bear trap. Oh, my God!
Just gum. I got gum on here.
Crap.
I got a rock.
Twitter collection. No, they're going to descend from the ceiling this year. That's how they'll...
That's in the air.
Pinata.
It's going to hit you on the head.
There'll be a giant pinata. It'll be shaped like... One year is shaped like Michael Dell.
He's going to throw them out to the audience.
Who's enemy number one this year? Michael Dell isn't enemy number one. Bill Gates is no longer enemy number one.
There are no enemies.
There are no enemies.
AT&T is enemy number one.
Well, our friends are our enemies. Oceania has never been at war.
Yeah, right.
Indeed.
That can't be right.
But there is no, is there
yeah,
no
there's
enemy?
No, there's no longer. I wrote a piece on Macworld a couple, like last year at some point, about like the lack of enemies, like because they kind of assimilated. Like there was IBM, and then they, you know, oh, we're gonna make chips, you know, with IBM, and then there was, you know, Intel, and now between the Intel processors, which they now use, and the ability of Bootcamp to run Windows on your Mac, kind of neutralized that as a competition. I mean, they're like, oh, now we can coexist. So there are no longer, there's no longer a like monolithic enemy.
That's strange.
This will never work. Apple's going to have to invade some.
Well, I was wondering if they're going to announce and you know, one more
stuff. Some randomly picked country.
Enemy number one is John Maltz, and your face shows up on the screen.
And then we have the moment of nature.
That's happened before.
Watch for this man.
Honestly, the biggest threat Apple has right now is itself. Like, and that may sound very sad and like crazy, but like Apple, if they can't
animate themselves,
they could. Like no, they could set it. It's like a wag the dog scenario.
Yeah, no, it's warring conditions. That's building one will, you know, attack building 10.
Internecine war. Okay.
So, except they have too much money, they don't need to fight over buses.
The Mac division.
It'll be a very lax division.
Yeah. It's slow.
We're gonna cut off your flow of copy in building one.
We're gonna put a pirate.
I thought they were gonna take on the SEC, but I guess they settled that one too. So.
I don't know.
It's gonna
though.
Be
it's still
people versus Apple.
Well, that's what, we are enemy number
yeah,
one.
Right, yeah, really. Yeah, it's the customers.
People be Apple.
We've come full circle to being gassed in there at this point.
That's right.
Like, the press is probably.
Well, that actually, that would be the perfect thing. Is like Microsoft is now facing competition. They're sort of running their stock is more abundant. Microsoft is the underdog, and Microsoft used to be the enemy of Microsoft was the people. So now Apple has to take that job on.
By the people.
Right.
So they'd have you believe.
So I'm talking to Dan Lyons.
Native Habitat, yes.
Fake Steve Jobs. We're recording? No, it's
okay, we're
informal.
On. Okay.
So you don't think there is a product X? You think it's going to be an interesting keynote?
I don't know. I'm even trying to lower my own expectations so I don't get my heart broken and I have to be all crushed. No, I don't know. I how do you even guess, you know? But
yeah.
I think there's going to be... Everybody seems convinced there's this sub-notebook coming, this little tiny flash-based notebook. I was hoping there was something cool like an iPhone that's bigger, like a 7-inch
right.
screen, flat panel, multi-touch. You could type on it, browse with it. I think it would be really awesome. But
I would love one of those.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool?
I would buy one of those. I would buy those at home. I have a PowerBook at home that I don't actually need. I'd rather have a bigger iPhone at home.
Yeah, carry it with you. Slip it right in a pocket. Like maybe it has a little case. Bam.
Blu-ray?
Lighter.
But it could be like Apple TV. It could be upgraded to Blu-ray though. The Apple TV, that's one thought. Because Blu-ray just won. Sort of.
Yeah. I think we'll do wireless sync for the iPods too, finally, don't you? Because the Zoom's had that for a while.
I hope so. It's no. I don't know why they couldn't. But, you know, there's a part in Options that I quote to people all the time. There's the bit about where fake Steve Jobs goes to India.
Oh,
it's revealed to him that someday someone will combine materialism with Buddhism and
with religion. Yeah, religion and commercialism.
It's really striking because that's how I feel today. That's sort of all the anticipation is, we don't know what it is, but we're going to be ecstatic about it.
We don't, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's kind of religious experience, I mean, even among the press, where it's like people are like, we're here because we don't know what it's going to be. We're tingling
exactly.
with anticipation because something's going to reveal to us.
And I was here at like 5 o'clock this morning, I'm embarrassed to say, and there was a line, like, you know, this huge line around the block, and I thought, you know what, it's not like Apple's a company with cultish leanings, I think Apple's a cult that makes products.
Yeah.
I think they are a cult, and that's what those people are. Whatever deal leader
right.
releases, they know they're going to buy it. These people, they place it. I think if you, well, I don't know about the hacks and the press, but if you went through the line outside and said to them, it's an unnamed product, it's going to be $2,000, we can't tell you anything about it, but we're taking advance orders. If you want to get the first shipment, we'll take your order now. I bet a lot of those people whoop out a credit card.
I would probably do that. I would probably do it.
See, you would.
Because even if I didn't want it, I knew I could resell it. To somebody
on eBay. Do you notice the way the line just disintegrated and now it's just a herd?
It's a mass.
They
yeah.
had us in a nice orderly line and we're all moving forward together and now it's just, you know, a mess.
This is
we're not even
going to
get in.
This is different this year. They usually do a lot of different stuff with the press.
They do?
Yeah, they have a very tight line and get in and release
you know,
it.
Whipping
this
you.
Is,
and
this is like
you.
Reception.
That's a Sony. That woman is here with a non.
So I'm talking to Julio Hayda Zapata from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Oops, I turned to this one. He's doing this for tidbits, just talking about. So what do you think is going to be shown?
I don't prognosticate. I leave that to people like Glenn Fleischman.
I don't prognosticate. I guess. That was the thing. The thing I wrote for the Seattle Times that was in yesterday's paper was like, it wasn't like rumors and whatever. It was like, what is Apple missing? Like, where are the gaps, you know, in their product line or whatever? So I don't know.
Well, one little thing that I'm really excited to see someday is support, Bluetooth support for input devices.
Oh, for the iPhone.
Yeah, because I'd like to do the old Newton routine of having an add-on keyboard so that I can use the iPhone as more of as a productivity device.
Because it actually has the support in there. It's just not turned on.
They just need the flash it, yeah.
It's OS X, and it has the full Bluetooth stack. They just didn't turn it on.
And I think it's really suspicious that Apple releases an extremely compact Bluetooth Mac keyboard that I have a hunch is going to figure into the iPhone's future. So.
Well, there's those really tiny ones, those ones you can fold up that are about the size of an iPhone when you fold it up. I want one of those. I'd be happy to type on that.
I heard about a company here that is exhibiting a keyboard that folds, you know, when you're done.
Oh, yeah. So there's some really tiny ones that have been meant for mobile phones that have been out for years, too, that I've seen. They're like, you take one AA or AAA battery and weigh 2 ounces. All right. Talking to John Moltz, Crazy Apple Rumors, and it's hours after the keynote. We've all been working really hard all day, filing stories and writing thousands of words, so it's been 5 hours. Has the reality distortion field faded?
No, I think I'm still as excited about the stuff as I was when I walked out.
Which is?
Fairly excited. You know, I mean, like I've been telling everybody, like, you can't have an iPhone every year. I mean, we get so spoiled by this.
The Air is pretty slick. It's really, there's going to be a lot of people for whom they don't really want a bulky computer, and even the MacBook is too bulky for some people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm personally going to get one, and I think you said the same thing, but I know a lot of people who are going to want that thing. And
you spent a lot of time on plates.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. No, yeah. Go ahead.
When you combine that with the movie rentals and the capsule, what is it? Time capsule.
Yes.
I think it was a pretty good keynote.
Yeah, movie rentals is huge.
Remember last year, it was just the iPhone. There was nothing else.
Conventional wisdom says that movie rentals, digital movie rentals, aren't going to work very well, and I think. Not necessarily Apple. I mean, it's been going on for years. There's been movie rentals. You can go to Cinema Now and get very high-quality movies years ago.
This is a one-stop shop. I mean, they managed to get all of the big movie studios.
Once they
really get it chock-full of content, which,
they have
1,000 movies. I don't know if that's
they'll have 5,000. They'll have the 4,000 movies that are back and two teenage boys on the cover. That's the former Blockbuster VHS category. It's 4,000 movies are like that. 1,000 are good. They're talking about the archives. So they have MGM and they have a bunch of others. Right. So they're going to have, you know, and all those studios are digitizing stuff like crazy, and Apple's going to re-encode in H.264 or whatever they want to do it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, so the glow is still there.
But for me.
Excellent. Thank you, John. So I'm here with Tanya Engst, Adam Engst, Rich Vogel, and the keynote's 5 hours ago. Has the glow worn off?
You know, the glow of this keynote wasn't as strong as some. I actually thought that Steve was just slightly off his game.
He was hoarse.
And there wasn't one more thing. The only thing at the end was how in 2008 there's going to be innovation.
There's 50 more weeks
so
left.
My guess is that there was one more thing, but it didn't work out. And in fact, it was rehearsed, and that new slides or extra slides had to be worked in near the end, because there was more slides that reviewed stuff that had already been covered 5 minutes ago, and Steve just didn't seem as slick on the demo as he sometimes is.
Wasn't quite as crisp.
Didn't he seem a little thin today?
He did seem thin
and hoarse today.
Like, it was a long ways away.
I thought, wait, his body was, that he looked like he'd lost some weight.
It's funny.
But I do think that, you know...
But that doesn't matter.
It makes no, it, I know. When you in a good presentation, you do summarize what you've said, so people can, you know, get the idea. But he did too much of that.
It was weird. It was like he was giving talking points as opposed to actually saying anything substantive.
And it was right. And we figured, one, that uses up some time, mm-hmm. and two, realistically, he may have been talking to a more mainstream press, get every joke, and, you know, automatically know what these things are once the specs have been revealed. So, you know, and I have talked to, you know, reporters who know absolutely nothing about this, are assigned to cover Macworld, and probably need that level of repetition and hand-holding to get the point. But again, to do it over and over again was really, it was noticeable. And so, you know, something else that was planned. So
maybe they were supposed to show. Absolutely. Oh, I'm podcasting, but come
you're
over.
You're live on the podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, excuse me. I'm really crashing.
No.
It's the worst possible time.
I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, so tell everybody who you are.
Okay, I'm John Nemo from MyMac.com. And I have a long-standing relationship with these nice people in front of me.
I'm just trying to give a taste of Macworld for people who can't come. So I'm just not really that formal because, because you know what it's like.
It's work.
That's work. Well, A, it's work, but B, it's like, you know, it's just, I mean, people can read everything they can read, but it's an interesting experience to come here every year. And I sort of got that deja vu. I was walking back to Moscone South, and I was like, I have been here before many, 2 months of my life here.
That's why it's so nice to have it over in the West Hall. There's finally somewhere new to go.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Why was there a crush of people going towards West in the morning? There was a crush of people going this way and a crush of people going that way.
All the traffic is like the wrong direction.
Yeah, that was my feeling. It was something that was
very confused.
Yeah, maybe there's more interesting things in West than there used to be in North.
The small developers are over in West.
Yeah.
It's nice. Have you been over there?
Not really.
I gotta get over it.
It's nice. I mean, it's really an extension of this, but it's different than how the North felt. Mm-hmm. It actually has its own personality, and there's a definite buzz there.
Oh, it's good. A pretty building, too.
Yes.
But yeah, North used to be like, it was like Siberia. It's like been relegated to the far North. I'm standing outside the Macworld Live booth. I'm trying to podcast from outside a podcast. Because I think that's great. I'm watching
maybe there's a podcast. Maybe somebody else is looking at us and doing a podcast.
That's right. And then they could podcast about this. I'm watching the very intent Sarush Parivar, the freelance reporter for Macworld staffer, writes for The Economist, contributes to NPR and The World on PRI. And Sarush is the audio engineer, and Andy Nakko is talking to Chris Green and a gentleman who I don't recognize. They're in a glass enclosed thing. I think it's a cage, because if Andy Nakko is let out, he would savage everyone here. That's my thinking, at least.
I think that would be Chris Green's hair would do the same thing.
It's possible. If aroused, it is dangerous.
Keeps it under tight control.
That's right. But show floor, walking around the show floor, and there's always interesting things at Macworld. And I'm sort of dazed so far.
At this point, I think, I think the it's starting to set in.
That's right.
It's a little too much to absorb all of this, I think.
So, it's the O'Reilly booth, so we should just go and read books until we
sit down
collapse. So I'm talking here with Victor Govenda from Peachpit Press. Knowledgeable man. He once knew how to burn CDs when no one else did. Remember back then?
That's true, Sonny.
That was a long time ago. So the years have suited you well, though, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
So Victor was at the keynote.
Are you busy tonight?
That's right. Well, we'll talk after the party tomorrow. So what do you think, did Apple fulfill its usual excitement quotient?
I think it performed adequately. It wasn't a knock-em-out-of-the-park kind of keynote. It wasn't like last year with the iPhone, but it was certainly not a lame keynote, but it was... There were fine products, and most of them were anticipated by rumors, but I think in every case, those actual specs exceeded what people were expecting.
Well, that's it. Like, there was no touch screen, but nobody believed... I never believe there'd be a tablet, because Jobs hates tablets.
Well, everyone hates tablets.
Nobody buys tablets. I mean, if they said, like, I think large iPhone would be fine. Like, tablet, no. But if it was like, we're coming up with iPhone large, it's 8 inches by 10 inches. But, oh, that's great.
iPhone
I love that.
Grande.
iPhone Grande. But, so do you need a MacBook Air? Is that your next purchase? Or do you like your current
setup? No, I think it's a lovely thing, but I'm happy with my MacBook Pro.
Who needs an Air? Who's going to buy that?
Probably my boss.
Well, it's
because
the,
she still uses a 12-inch.
Like
she
a small machine.
She had a 17-inch G4. Mm-hmm. She went back to a 12-inch. Mm-hmm. And I think she's been wanting something like this. Because she travels a lot.
Yeah, it's a coach section.
Right, she doesn't
laptop.
Do heavy-duty computing, mm-hmm. but she does. She's on email and web browsing and word processing, you know, the basic office functions all day long. So, and she doesn't need huge file storage, being light, easy to carry, easy to sync.
I launched iDVD on the thing, and iMovie and iPhoto, and it was still like, I mean, it was, they all launched super fast, and I've had a machine, my Mac Pro, they launched faster than my Mac Pro, which is right. slightly older, so.
Might be different with Photoshop, though.
Yeah, well, I'm always curious, CS3 will make fools of us all. That's why I have to upgrade my PowerBook, because I have a PowerBook G4, and I've now exceeded its capabilities 4.5 years after buying it, primarily. But it seems like that's what the Air market might be, is like, if you don't want to carry a computer with you, then a MacBook Air is probably the computer that you would carry with you.
Right.
But if you don't mind carrying a computer, it's like, well, 15-inch or 17-inch, but...
Yeah. I think it is the sort of the executive crowd.
That's funny. I've been hearing that a lot. I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but it's also more... Like, I get a MacBook for $1,200 or something, right? Or cheaper. And this is...
Right.
So there is that.
Right. And you don't have to worry about options. You just get the stock model, basically. It comes with 2 gigabytes of RAM, and I forgot to look up to see whether it's expandable. I don't think it is.
I don't think so. I think you can't. I don't think you can open up any part of it. The battery is not user serviceable.
Right, I heard that.
Although $129 for replacement, and they can do it at the Apple Store. And they're saying it'll last for 100% charge after hundreds of cycles. So, fine. So, 3 years, 4 years. You might need to get bored with your battery.
The one really interesting thing I thought was the rejection of the optical drive,
mm-hmm.
and Jobs saying, we'll sell you one, but we don't think you need it.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of the iMac, where they rejected the floppy drive, and everyone said, you can't drive. And he said, that's the future. Get over it. And I think it's the same thing. More stuff will be coming via the network. Yeah. I mean, as they, just like the Apple TV, well, that's not necessarily wireless. You can use Ethernet.
But it's designed to be. It's designed to not have to if you don't want to.
It's why the Apple TV does not have a DVD player in it, which is what you would expect for a media box.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of making the... And it's why Apple still doesn't put Blu-ray or anything like that into the Mac Pros.
That's what I was thinking. I thought Apple TV might get a Blu-ray, but then they didn't.
No, but I think they're making the point that that's all old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could get a high-def movie within a few minutes of clicking a button, wouldn't you do that instead of buying a disc where you had to decide, do I want a Blu-ray? Do I go to get it? And then how do I store it? I have to take some space on the shelf.
It's also, they're sort of saying the Apple TV is like, it's a media player, but we know you're going to have other stuff too. It's just, this is going to replace anything you had to do with any kind of computer thing. Like, you don't need a CD player, you don't need this, you're not going to need like an iPod docky thing or whatever. It's like, this is it.
Yeah, you could put it in the living room, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter where your computer is.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's
standalone.
Which is nice. It's a category killer. It's like,
right, because all the other media, home media things are still computers.
And they're all, none of them, well, there's also this portability thing, which I think I haven't seen played up yet, which is the Apple TV is part of an ecosystem now where you can move stuff from an iPod, an iPhone, the Apple TV as a standalone device, and any computers in your network with, you know, some limits, but a number you can play on. But it's all, there's no other download device like Vudu or TiVo with the Amazon Unbox. None of those actually allow you very much portability. Like, some will work with an Archos or with like a TiVo to go certified player or whatever, but it's a very small universe, and this is a very big universe for any content you buy.
Right.
I think.
Right. I know we just got a high-def TV at home, and I just upgraded to the high-def TiVo because we've been TiVo, and now I kind of go, would the Apple TV have been a better choice?
Apple TiVo.
Apple TiVo.
All right, thank you, Victor.
You're welcome.